We live in a society that wants to claim they are victimized. But people make decisions. They make decisions to act right or wrong. They make decisions to think right or wrong. They make decisions to talk right or wrong. And when dealt with falsely, they make decisions to respond right or wrong. The psalmist made three important decisions. Psalm 119, he said, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run, he said, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us as we choose, make choices. Help us, Lord, to ever choose the way of truth each day. Lord, if there's one here who's never called on the Lord for salvation, we pray that today might be the day that they call on you, Lord Jesus, for sins forgiven and a new home in heaven. Lord, we pray that you'd bless as we examine your word this night. In Christ's name, amen. In Daniel chapter 1, we have the story of Daniel who purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He could have said he was victimized. He was torn away from his parents by the Babylonians, torn away from his home, from his home country, put in a brand new circumstance, a foreign country and a foreign education. And he was picked for service in the Babylonian government. It was not his choice. You know, if anybody could have said he was victimized, he could have. But Daniel knew God had an overriding purpose in everything that God allowed into his life. So Daniel just purposed not to defile himself, even in this foreign situation. Even if it wasn't anything like the home he grew up in, his choice was the way of truth. Well, he had to eat this stuff that the king thought was pretty good. And he was having all these folks that were educated in his school for government service to have the great stuff he had to eat, you know. But Daniel knew that some of this stuff is not prepared kosherly, okay? And some of it's not on the list for Jews to eat, okay? And Daniel just purposed in his heart, he and his friends, that they would not defile themselves with the king's diet, we'll say, the king's meat. I'm sure some of the meat wasn't on the list of things for Jews to eat. But nevertheless, Daniel would die for his convictions. But he didn't have to die in this case. He would live a long life. Daniel had purposed in his heart. He had chosen the way of truth. Daniel knew that he could not expect to change the king's royal kitchen. But Daniel, already a done deal, chose the way of truth. We don't have to be intimidated by the world. God's word, God's judgment will give you unlimited number of better ideas than the world has ideas. Just lay them out in front of you and use them. The psalmist said, I have chosen. And secondly, he said, I have stuck. Not I am stuck, but I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I remember seeing as a kid this advertisement on TV. Someone put super glue on this end of this board and then stuck it to the top of a car. And then a crane picked up the board that was stuck to the car. And we were all amazed by the power of super glue. That car and that board were stuck to each other. The psalmist is saying, I have made my choice, my decision. It is not a fickle one. I'm stuck to it. It's stuck to me. We're inseparable for always. A decision like that goes on and on. I have enjoyed reading on the life of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a famous evangelist back in the 1800s. Over 500,000 made decisions for Jesus Christ during his ministry, years of ministry. His daddy died when he was just a little boy. And so when he went to Boston to work in a shoe store, it was supervision of the relatives somewhat distantly, but he had to promise that he would be in church every Sunday there in Boston. And there was an uncle that made him promise. Mama made him promise. So here he is as a 16-year-old. He's in Boston and he's working there and he's gone to church. Now he's lost. His mama tried to bring him up in church and things, but still, just like me, I was lost. I didn't get saved till I was 15, even though I grew up in church, all right? And so here's D.L. Moody. He was in church, and he was in a church that was considered a revival center in Boston. The pastor was highly educated, but he was also a fireball preacher. Generally, nobody went to sleep on him except D.L. Moody every Sunday morning. He would sit in the furthest corner and go to sleep. But he was in church, all right? hey, God had a Sunday school teacher that had D.L. Moody's attention there at that church. The power of a Sunday school teacher. This Sunday school teacher wasn't gifted or educated in the way that that pastor was. But he loved his students, and he prepared his lessons, and he would try and help his students and interact with them in the lesson and things, and D.L. Moody sensed the love of this man for his class. D.L. Moody didn't even know where the Gospel of John was. Teacher said, turn to the Gospel of John. D.L., would you read to us? Well, he was still thumbing through his Bible to find where St. John was, you know. And so he didn't know much about the Bible. But D.L. said, that'll never happen again. He started learning all the books of the Bible after that. But the teacher sensed in him a desire to respond to the message. And so the teacher went to the shoe store where D.L. worked there at Boston. He shared the gospel with D.L. Moody. D.L. was working in the back of the store, and he was putting boxes up in special categories and such. And the teacher followed him around and kept sharing the gospel. It's like me when I talk to my wife. She might be doing the laundry, she might be ironing or whatever, but I just follow her around and talk because I know that she's not going to stop until all the work is done. So that's the way that Sunday school teacher had to do. Just follow D.L. until he finished what he had to say. And D.L. was listening. My wife, she always listens. So anyway, D.L. was listening. The gospel was being presented. His interest was picked. The Holy Spirit was working him over. Finally, at a certain point, D.L. bowed his head and prayed and called on the Lord to save him. And D.L. stuck to the Lord like glue. And the Lord, of course, was stuck to him better than super glue. D.L. decided, hey, I need to bring others in. And they rented pews in those days. So he rented four pews, and then he got kids to come to church, and he filled those four pews. Well, it wasn't long after that. He went to Chicago. As when he was 17, he was in Chicago, and he was doing real good there, and things were going great in the shoe business. But when he first got there, the first people that greeted him at the train there in Chicago were Baptists, and they invited him to church. So he went to the First Baptist Church there in Chicago. His future wife was sitting in the audience. This would not be the last time they would meet. But he went then to the Congregational Church after that, found out where it was at, and he had a letter from the church in Boston, Congregational Church, to the one in Chicago. And so he gets busy in his church, and he figures, hey, I want to bring kids to church here too. And he's doing that, and there's some Methodists that are passing out tracts on Sunday morning and going to boarding houses, and while people are eating, they're going around and leaving gospel tracts, inviting them to church and things like that. D.L. Moody said, hey, I enjoy doing that. So he would go out passing out tracts, invite people to church on Sunday morning. Then he'd be in church and he'd bring some kids to that. And he found out there was a mission Sunday school, Sunday afternoon, just to try and bring in the street kids to hear the gospel and be taught the word and such. And he thought, well, that's a great idea. I want to go to that. So he went to the superintendent and he says, I'd like to teach a class. He thought, well, it was a teacher, Sunday school teacher, it led me to Christ, and I want to be able to do this kind of thing. And the teacher said, well, we have 12 teachers and we have 16 students. If you bring in some kids, you can teach a class if you want. Oh, D.L. thought, well, if the need is students, I can help you out in that department. So he went out, and of course, he was a rough-going character, and the kids on the street really related with him and loved him. And so he would bring in kids. The first next Sunday, he brought 18 kids. And so he more than doubled their attendance. And so he just gave all the students to the teachers and kept bringing in more and more. Finally, he thought, this isn't enough. And so he rented a building there in Chicago and fixed it up so that he could have Sunday school there for the kids of Chicago, because they already maxed out the little place that they had for this mission. And so now he's bringing in over 200 kids to Sunday school in this afternoon Sunday school mission for the street kids of Chicago. Well, the mayor of Chicago heard about this. And so he told D.L. Moody, he said, I want to help you out here on Market Street. We have this big hall above the market. You know, every day they're selling fish and vegetables and things like that on ground level. But above it, this big hall where there's ballrooms, dancing, and all kinds of things going on during the week. But on Sunday, it's not used for anything. The city owned it. And so the Chicago mayor said, you can use it rent-free to reach the kids of Chicago. Now D.L.'s really excited. And D.L. just keeps sticking to the Lord like glue. He wrote a letter home to his brother George, March 17th, 1857. He said, I can make more money here in a week than I could in Boston in a month. But that's not all. I have enjoyed more religion here than ever in my life. George, I hope you will hold on, stick like glue. Hold on to the promises in the Bible. I find the better I live, the more enjoyment I have. And the more I think of God and His love, the less I think of this world's troubles. George, Don't let anything keep you from the full enjoyment of God's love. I think we have things sometimes come upon us to try our faith, and God likes to see us cling on, stick like glue. Trouble shouldn't divide us from our Lord. It should cause us to cling all the more to our Lord. Stick like glue. And so D.L. Moody just kept on sticking like glue to the Lord. And he was bringing in this big hall, he was bringing in 800 and then 900 and 1,000 kids and then 1,200 and then 1,500. And if it ever dipped below 1,000, he felt like they had a lousy Sunday. He just sticking like glue to the Lord and going for all he can give. Civil War broke out. Some of these young men that used to be in his Sunday school got saved and were signing up to serve. And the 72nd Illinois Regiment was called the YMCA Regiment. Many of them were kids from his Sunday school who also got involved in the YMCA movement because he was getting that going in Chicago as well. 90 times during the Civil War, he went out to the battlefront bringing supplies from folks in Chicago, organizations in Chicago to help with sanitation situations, and he would bring supplies. He was a favorite amongst the troops. They'd love to hear him preach. And when there wasn't preaching services, he'd be going one-on-one, talking with men and talking to them about the Lord. He would help after the Battle of Shiloh. That was the first big battle where 30,000 lives were lost in one battle. America had never seen this before. It was shocking what the war was costing in lives and wounded men on beyond that. And D.L. Moody was there moving amongst those that were wounded and sharing with them the gospel, helping in any way he could. The troops knew he loved them because Jesus loved him. He could love them. He just kept hanging on to Jesus, clinging to the Lord. D.L. Moody, when he had his big Sunday school, he was just bringing them in. And he still didn't know how to lead a soul to Christ. But he knew how to bring them in. He could do that. So he gave it all he had. And then one Sunday, one class of girls, their teacher was sick. So he filled in. And these girls, now, they didn't grow up in Christian homes. None of them's parents taught them anything about God, right and wrong, the Bible. And he was filling in, and they laughed at him while he's trying to teach them. They mocked him, and he was getting really upset. He wanted to just kick them out, but he wouldn't do that. He never liked to kick anybody out. In fact, when he started the Market Hall Sunday School, he picked up the kids that got kicked out of the other one and rounded them up and said, "Help me as I start this Sunday school on Market Street, all right?" And he gave them shares, so they felt like they were part owners in it, okay? And he promised them a new suit if these particular 13 boys who had been kicked out of the last Sunday school, if they stayed every week, if they stayed with him in it, he would buy them a new suit. He had a before picture and an after picture, all right? Under the first picture, the before was, "Is it worth it?" And the second picture, 12 of them made it and earned the suit. And he said, "It does. It is worth it." And D.L. Moody said those boys were with him at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday to help clean out all the beer bottles and the kegs of beer and everything and get everything set up so that when they had Sunday school at 3 o'clock, then it would be ready. So they did this. Then they went to church with D.L. Moody, and then after church, then they had this 3 o'clock mission to the street kids of Chicago. Well, this class of girls were rowdy. He felt like kicking them out, but he didn't. He's worked with the worst, all right? And so he's just not going to give up on these girls. And his teacher didn't give up on him. And so anyway, he stuck it out to the end of that class. His teacher came to see him on Monday. And his teacher, who taught that class, said, "My lungs hemorrhaged again. My doctor said I've got to go to New York, that I'm dying of tuberculosis. I can't stay around Lake Michigan anymore. But what bothers me the most is I've never shared the gospel, never led any of these girls in my class to Jesus Christ." D.L. said, "Well, what can I do to help? I can rent a carriage and take you around so that you can." And the guy said, "Okay." And so that's what they did. They rented a carriage and they'd go to these rickety rundown places where these girls come from. Sometimes it was walking up a long series of stairs, getting to the top, knocking on the door, and the girl in question came, and she didn't laugh at her teacher. There was a teacher that cared for them, and she knew it. Loved their soul, and she knew it. And the teacher was invited in, and the teacher began to open the plan of salvation to her and share how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as he unfolded the gospel, and tears were coming down her eyes, and finally he says to D.L. Moody, the teacher did, "Pray for her that God will save her." And D.L. said, "Well, I've never done that before, but if that's what it takes, I'll do it." And so he prayed, asked God to save her. And then the teacher then prayed with her, and she called on the Lord for salvation. When she finished praying, there was a smile on her face. There was joy in her eyes. The gospel had taken effect. D.L. Moody said, "This is great." They went to the next one and the next one. All five of them that night had trusted Christ as Savior. Tuesday night, they're going out after work again. And D.L. Hired a carriage, took this teacher around. And one after another, wherever they lived, they went to all these girls. It took 10 days. But they reached every one of them. Every one of them had called on the Lord for salvation. This teacher who loved the Lord and loved these girls did not want to leave Chicago without having presented the gospel. And every one of them called on the Lord for salvation. D.L. Moody says the most exciting thing he'd ever seen in his life. He said he decided on having a Sunday school party. And so rounded up all these girls the night before this teacher was to take a train and go to New York. And so here they all came. And they sang songs together like they would in Sunday school. The teacher read John 14, the 14th chapter of John, to these girls. And then D.L. Moody got down on his knees. And he started praying and asking God to bless these girls in their new walk with Christ, help this teacher as he goes to New York. When he finished praying, he was getting up from his knees, and he said, and then one of those girls started praying and thanking God for their teacher who showed them how to be saved so they go to heaven when they die, and then prayed for him that God would help him, heal him if possible when he's over there in New York. How they would miss their teacher. One after another of these girls prayed and thanked God for their teacher and their new life in Christ. And what a difference it made when Jesus came in to their hearts. When the last of all the girls prayed, D.L. Moody said, "I was so thrilled. I felt like, wow, This is what it's all about. He said, I lost heart for becoming a millionaire. And I wanted to just give it all up and serve Jesus the rest of my life. That teacher showed him how to win souls. D.L. Moody stuck like glue to the Lord Jesus Christ. Served him till the day he died. But I tell you, Sunday school teachers made a big difference in D.L. Moody's life. Praise God for our Sunday school teachers. Keep up the good work you're doing. And then the psalmist said, I will run. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. There are many comparisons that can be made between King Saul and King David in Old Testament times. One general comparison that's easy to see is that King Saul wasted time and Israel's time and money and lives chasing after David for 10 years, Bible scholars said. Running him down, trying to kill him because he thought David would replace his son Jonathan as king after him, because God had rejected King Saul as king. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And King Saul heard that message from Samuel the prophet. But King Saul resisted God's will, fought against God's will, run David out of the palace, run around the country for 10 years trying to hide, find him and kill him. The bitter mind and heart becomes more and more narrow in its focus until it's almost blind. When you allow God to keep your heart and mind clean, He will enlarge your understanding, your vision, your zeal, your opportunities, and your capabilities until you can run for God. D.L. Moody only knew how to invite kids to church and bring them in. It was fun bringing four pews worth in. And then it was even more fun to bring in 100 and yet more and more. He was good at one thing, made the most of it. But when he saw a teacher lead souls to Christ, he had to get in on that and give his life to it. And he started out slow and lead one soul and then another. And another until more and more were getting saved. God enlarged his zeal, his opportunities, and his understanding until he's winning thousands for Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. The psalmist said, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Dear God, I thank you for the folks here who have chosen the way of truth. This church has stood for the gospel of Jesus Christ fervently for years. Lord, bless them for having chosen the way of truth. Lord, if there's one here tonight who has not made the decision to call upon the Lord for salvation, and they're realizing that without Christ, they'd go to hell when they died. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart and draw them to yourself. May tonight be the night they trust Christ and be saved. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as Christians to stick to you like glue. Help us, Lord, not only choosing the way of truth, not only sticking to it, but Lord, as you enlarge our understanding, enlarge our zeal, enlarge our opportunities, enlarge our influence, our opportunities, help us, Lord, to do a little more for you this year than we did last year. Help us to run eventually run the way of thy commandments. Feel so at home with you and your word and a ready witness that we feel like we can one day run the way of thy commandments. Oh Lord Jesus, we need you to work in our hearts, for it is you that works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Tonight, Lord, draw us to yourself, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.